First of all, congratulations. I think you've had an addition to your family, huh?
Beautiful baby boy. My poor wife went into labor Friday, July 3rd in the morning, and 23 hours later, we welcome Rafael Dario Pena IV, 8 pounds, 7 ounces.
Very good. And born on the 4th of July, so yes, outstanding. Well, all right, let me see. We've been at this job for a while. It's been a learning curve. I think we all knew it was going to be that way. Anytime there's a council member who's on their first term and they haven't been necessarily working in city government prior to that, kind of tell me where you are on some things since we last spoke. I know that you have some things that you want to happen in your district particularly, and I guess circumstances don't always get you what you want, but tell me where you think you are as far as getting what you want for your district.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Scott, because I think there's a lot of things that have been accomplished since last I was on here. Primarily, Scurry Park. I know that was a big push from my town hall meetings to have additional parking spaces. And with the help of the council, we added 13 brand new parking spaces along with new sidewalks. We completely redid the entire nature trail at that park. We cut down some limbs, and we added a couple of trash receptacles. So the people were very excited about that. But another thing that we did, of course, as you know, is the Sadie Thomas Pool. The city council allocated close to $1 million for the addition of a new pool at Sadie Thomas. There was one a few years back, and we just ended up doing a citizen survey, and we just got those input all come in, as all the numbers have been crunched, and now we're going to look at what type of amenities we're going to bring to the new pool.
Let's go back to Scurry Park for just a minute.
Okay.
Concept of neighborhood parks. And again, most of the parks that you're talking about in your district, certainly, and all over the city generally, are older parks.
Right.
Now, the concept of a neighborhood park has kind of changed in that it's usually designed for people who just live nearby, so parking not so important. Now, you pushed for the parking, and it's there, but tell me what your thought is for those people who would say, well, parking means then that people will come from other parts of the city or maybe even from out of town and be in Scurry Park, and that's not ideally what a neighborhood park is supposed to be.
Well, what pushed the parking so much at Scurry Park was that it's a neighborhood park, but it's a very highly used neighborhood park, and residents would have to park on the streets alongside Scurry Park, and what would end up happening, the police officers would end up issuing citations, and I felt that was a big issue, and you're just coming to a barbecue to celebrate a birthday, and so we really pushed that these new parking spaces so they can have those parking spots, so don't have to get those tickets.
Sure.
We have a lot of parks that if someone's come out of town, Scurry Park's not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
Sue Haswell, it has
sure.
a lot of parking spaces as well.
Rafael Pena joining us this morning. Now, let's I interrupted, so let's go back to Sadie Thomas. You're crunching numbers. Kind of what's your thought as to what kind of amenities ought to be in Sadie Park?
So I think there should definitely be a walking in, a waiting type pool in one part of the pool, another part where you can swim deep in, maybe a diving board. I wouldn't mind seeing a water slide as well. Maybe a little splash pad amenity feature. We got a lot of push feedback from the community, and that's something I'm going to be advocating for in the new pool, because we wanted to have the modern features, because we wanted to be successful and draw a large crowd, and so they can really enjoy it.
Sure. Anything else as we go through kind of your wish list or things that you think you'd like to see?
Well, definitely something I've been pushing is, since I've got on council, was a sidewalk in front of Sandy Point Road. I know there's a lot of families and moms and dads who utilize the Sandy Point Road. I live off Sandy Point Road, so I see it every day, to go pushing their babies and strollers and what have you. And I think it's a huge safety issue in terms of them having to walk in the ditch because there's no sidewalk available. And I know I talked to the judge, and he had mentioned that he would be willing to donate the labor for that. So I know I'm working with another agency so that we can cut down on the cost, and I know that cuts down on the cost significantly. So that's another project I'm looking forward to passing. Hopefully, this next council meeting, we might have something on the agenda.
So to be clear, then, the county judge has said that they would donate the labor that's associated with the sidewalks. Is
right,
that right,
because right now they're looking at actually adding a sidewalk on the county side. And so I want to put a sidewalk on the Forest Park apartment side, and I think we can help each other out here, because I think we're going to be donating our engineers for the design concept for that side, and if we have the same engineers for our house, the Forest Park apartment side, they'll donate the labor, so it'll kind of be the same thing on the other side.
Okay, so we have sidewalks on both sides, and you say this will be on the council agenda fairly soon, at least your
fairly soon, yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes, Scott. I know it's not that many times that I'm on here, and sometimes the previous mayor or another council member mentions things on here that, you know, you don't have a time to talk back, what have you. But you asked a good question one time to the mayor about a 36-acre track in Traditions, and you asked him if it was a sweetheart deal. And because the sale of that property was about $1 a square foot, mm-hmm. and when the tax rolls, the BCAT value was a little over $5 a square foot, which amounted to a little over $5 million.
BCAT is Brazos County Appraisal District, so people understand that. Okay.
And the mayor mentioned that we didn't understand how much of that property was in the floodplain or it could be developed. Well, actually, Scott, I got from staff 100% can be developed. None of it's in the floodplain. Okay. So all of that property was prime real estate that we could have utilized to pay off some of the debt that started that TERS. And I think right now Traditions generates about $1.3 million on the city side of taxes each year that we could have come back to the tax rolls to increase our tax base so that we can utilize those funds to go to some of these improvements that I've been advocating for.
Okay, good. Well, good. I appreciate you giving us the information staff has given you. Tell me what else has been important that you've been able to deal with and with staff that's possibly made your job a little bit easier or made you a better council member.
Well, the TNR program, we recently got pushed. Somebody came to the town hall meeting.
Okay, TNR.
Trap, neuter, return.
Thank you.
Wanted to see the city do more on along those areas, and what that means is there's feral cat populations in the city of Bryan, and right now there's ordinance on the books that doesn't allow these nonprofits to trap these animals and spray or neuter them. And so what I decided to do is put it on the agenda so we can start that discussion. And it went over well with the other council members, and staff's been a big help. They reached out to Alley Cat Allies. Ms. Holtz came from way out of town to give us an update, and we drafted an ordinance that would allow these nonprofits to trap, neuter, and return. But at the same time, the city won't pick up these animals, these cats, if they're cat ear is ear tipped, so mm-hmm. that's kind of like a physical identification that
yes.
they've already done everything they need to be done. So we'll put them back in the release them back to the population, and they won't grow as much. So that trap neuter return program was a good I think where everybody was firing on the same cylinders. The council came together and we worked well, and staff had a huge tremendous help in getting Liz came out here and give us that presentation, and so I thought that was a great idea.
Rafael Pena joining us today, and to speak to animal control and animal facilities, the mayor, and I guess it's been about 4 weeks ago now, maybe a little longer, mentioned that there are some citizens who are willing to come forth and help the city build an animal facility that would be larger, more sophisticated, and quite honestly rather expensive. I'd like to think, as one member of council, I'd like to get your thoughts on a new facility for animals and how much you think should be spent there.
Well, I know the mayor had mentioned that there are some donors willing to donate, and so I'm on board if we get 100% of the building built with private donations, and then I think we can transfer some of that O&M from the facility the city runs now to incorporate that into this new facility. It might be a little bit more, but overall, when we're getting a brand new facility from private donations, I think it'd be worth it. I think we kind of save money in the long run because of the new, how many more animals we can help.
Now, I'd kind of like to get an idea of your philosophy then as a member of this this city council. Certainly, you do have a wish list. You have a lot of things that you'd like to get accomplished. Some of those just can't happen without tax increases. So are you in a situation where you'd be in favor of tax increases to get these amenities at the level that you want, or are you willing to accept maybe something scaled down at this time?
Well, I'm always looking to work with council, and that mean if that equals scale down, then so be it. But when we start talking about raising taxes, I'm not in favor of raising taxes, and I think we're in a healthy economy. We don't have to do that. But I think there's money is enough available to the city that we have already by, like the Traditions deal I mentioned. Had we gotten the full value of that property, that we lost that on $4 million, and just getting the full value, that's $40 million right there. Or another thing, since we're talking about Traditions, we give them free portable water as well as reclaimed water. And it's in the millions of gallons. I think last year alone was 60 million gallons of water. And if we just charged them for that water, imagine how much money we'd get from that revenue source. So there's these different revenue sources that are available to us that we have at our disposal, whether it be charging actual BCAT value price for property, or charging traditions, instead of getting free water, they have to pay for it, just like Bryan Muni and any other business in here in the city of Bryan.
Can you not bring that onto the agenda?
Yeah, we definitely talked about it in executive session. We thought we could done that, but there's not enough traction with the council members to do that. No one wants to.
So you don't have enough people to put that on the agenda? Is that basically what you're telling me?
No, what I'm saying is none of the other council members would like to. The majority on council right now would not support that. Whereas the minority would love to get those monies come generated in the city.
So you don't have enough people to be able to get that on the agenda? Is that what you're telling
me? No, I have enough people to get it on the agenda. Okay. But the way from advice from our city attorney, she said that pretty much not to put that on the agenda because of the contract and a lot of she explained in executive session. I can't really go.
I know you can't. Okay, so basically, even if you brought it to council, there couldn't be any action taken on it. What you're basically trying to do is inform us of that situation. Is that basically right?
Okay. Yes.
Are you a landowner?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Sandy Point Road. So I live on Sandy Point Road. Yeah. A little piece of property right across from the Silverado right there.
Okay. Certainly makes no difference. I just thought I'd ask. Anything else you want to cover today that we haven't talked about?
Well, I know I was really excited that we finally have a game day transportation into downtown Bryan on game day. I know that's something I've been fighting for a while in our local agreement with College Station. We give money each year, and I thought, you know, it's time to get a little bang for our buck. And I asked, we have this shuttle right, and they always tell me it's coming. Well, now it is coming, and now it's here, so I'm glad about that.
I won't leave that yet because I wanted to talk to the mayor about that yesterday, and I want to talk to you since you're in today. $5 to park in the garage. But it's free on the streets. Now, that concerns me that people will come, park their car there in front of businesses in downtown Bryan at no charge, and then use up a finite amount of parking spaces. What's your answer to something like that?
Well, I think in the council meeting I said in the open session that I'd be willing to pay for the parking, work out a deal with the county to have free parking for the game day so they wouldn't take up parking spots for the local businesses in downtown Bryan, that they all park at the garage. I want that thing packed. Most of the time it's not, and so let's utilize that those spaces available to us.
So work with the county how? You'd pay the county?
Work with a deal that we can have. We probably get a reduced rate, or maybe we both get in and they'll say it's okay. We'll don't charge them at all on game days because it's a economic thing. It's a boom for the downtown Bryan, so they might see it as a way to get more tax revenue. So if we can work out a deal, whether that be the city paying part of that $5 or the city and the county coming to an agreement where it's free for both parties, that'd be even better. But something along those lines. We haven't really had those conversations.
Sure. Well, and then that's true. As I mentioned with the mayor, it's an organic situation. A&M hasn't necessarily settled how they're going to handle traffic. It changes from week to week. So I could see that it might not be any different from Bryan, but I agree with you. To be able to have people down there is a good thing. That's for sure. Excuse me. So I interrupted you. So what else did you have?
Application deadline for City of Bryan police officers is August 12th. And the entrance exam will be on Saturday, August 22nd. July is National Park and Recreation Month. The City of Bryan is hosting a photo contest to celebrate. So send in your best photos from the City of Bryan Parks, Lake Bryan, aquatic, and recreational facilities for your chance to win a $100 Visa gift card. Entries are due by July 31st. The last movie in our Moonlight movie series will be Surf's Up on Tuesday, July 21st at Henderson Harbor. The cost is regular pool entry fee. Movie begins at dusk. Activities begin at 6:30. Travis Community Golf Course. We just purchased brand new golf carts, so go check that out. The game in Texas is coming back to BCS at the end of this month. You can find out more on how to register to compete in one of the 16 events or be a volunteer by going to bryancx.gov. And last but not least, actually two more things. Coffee with a Cop at Village Cafe, downtown Bryan at 8 a.m. And TAMU Physics Roadshow at the Clareby Public Mounts Library, 2 p.m. It's free, same day.
All right, sounds good. That's Single Member District 2 Member Rafael Pena here this morning. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
You bet.